The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
Kicking the weekend off right with a special edition of Bears All Access on this Friday evening. Hi, everyone. Zach Zaitman joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. You know, this would normally be the week where the NFL scouting combine would be going on, but they pushed it back so it doesn't begin until next week, which will make next week very interesting because it's the last day where you can tag players next Wednesday, March 1st. And after that, there's going to essentially begin a negotiating period that every GM is talking to every agent about what's going to transpire when a week later the NFL year begins. And it's going to be a monster power week in Indianapolis, Tom.
What's more important, though, is it the combine or is it the evaluation of franchise talent out there or free agents that are going to boost your roster? To me, it's if these guys take advantage of an extra week in their preparation for the combine and they benefit from it and then they raise their value in the eyes of the scouts and the GMs and everything, then it's going to help them. But I do think for some teams it's so important to go out there and think, are you willing to go out there and franchise Kirk Cousins and make him the highest paid player in the NFL? Is there a player that's on the fringe of franchising on your team that you don't know what their value is really, and where are they at this point in the offseason? So I do think there's a lot of questions, but for the 330 guys that are going to have an opportunity to go to the combine, this is the biggest moment in their professional life when you think about this is probably when they'll test the best they'll test throughout their career.
But, Jim, I bring it up because the most important position in the sport is quarterback. And this week we've heard a whole bunch of rumors in regards to Jay Cutler. And I think most people believe that the two sides are headed for a split. And the only question, Jim, is how do they go about creating that split? Is it going to be via trade where you get something in return, or are they just going to have to say goodbye and release him? They don't have to do that. They can keep him. But I think the belief is around football circles that the Bears are going to head in a different direction at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I think once everybody saw the report about the Bears are actively trying to trade Jay Cutler, I think that's really signifies the beginning of the end. Now, is there a willing partner? It's certainly, there's been reports out there the Jets are interested with Jeremy Bates. We know his history with the Chicago Bears. He's coached Jay before. Bottom line is, I think when you already are offering Jay Cutler for a trade, I think it's ultimately going to be, you know, it signals this is the end. So I don't think there's going to be much compensation. There should be some teams are interested in signing him, but you got a player that his livelihood is you know, right now he's coming off a torn labrum, right? So you don't have a healthy player. So ultimately, I think he'll just be released by the Chicago Bears, and then Jay will ultimately be able to decide his future of what team he could potentially go to. So I think a lot of people saw it coming. It's just, you know, would a team be willing to give up any compensation for Jay at all? And I don't think that's going to happen. Not for him, not for Tony Romo, not for other quarterbacks like Kirk Cousins. I don't think there's a trade that's going to happen there. I think it would be a few and far shot that would happen. Probably the only legitimate quarterback that could be moved via trade would be Jimmy Garoppolo of the New England Patriots.
You know, the surprise player in this whole mix is probably John Lynch. Now that he's a general manager and they have a little bit of background on Denver. But I have a question for both of you guys. You take Jay Cutler, and since he's been in the NFL, Jay Cutler has always been a starter. I don't think he's ever dressed for an NFL game as a backup. Say the Bears said, all right, Jay Cutler, we're going to bring you back, and you're not the starter. You're going to come back, and you're going to compete with Brian Hoyer, with Connor Shaw, whomever else they get inside the quarterback mix. And now you're competing to be a player on this roster. Are you willing to even consider that? And not give him, you know, not guarantee him anything? Do you think Jay would do that, or do you think that's totally out of the picture in terms of him coming back as a competitor? Because now if he goes to another team, you're automatically going to slide Jay Cutler in as the starter on that football team, and I think that's unfair to the guys who are already there or the guys in that position. But now I'm thinking for the Bears, would it be okay if he came back to training camp only as a competitor, not a guaranteed guy?
I don't think it would work at this point, because you've won 9 games the past 2 years. Yeah, it would be my take on it. As a career starter, he's got 204 touchdowns, 146 interceptions, and then you factor in the lost fumbles. So he's got a close to 100 over 180 turnovers. It's hard to win in the National Football League that way. I think he is a very talented guy, but I just think it's kind of a time for a change of scenery. Plus, he hasn't been healthy, I think, since, what, 2010? And that's he got injured in that championship game. So I just don't think it would work at this point, and why both parties would elect to really cut the cord. And Jay would probably sign with another team. I don't think there would be guarantees, and I don't know how much his compensation would be, but he is looked strictly now as a bridge quarterback. He is not viewed anymore, I would think, as a franchise quarterback.
See, I think that the biggest issue facing the decision makers at Halas Hall isn't in regards to Jay Cutler. And I agree with Jim. I think once you start hearing the name being floated around, I think it's a natural sign. And I don't think it's a coincidence that these reports came out a week before the entire football universe is meeting in Indianapolis, because it's basically a neon sign to the rest of the league. Hey, Jay Cutler is available. Come and talk to me about the best possible offer you have for this quarterback, and let's make a deal. And that's what the Bears are trying to do, according to all reports. Now, that being said, the next step is, how do you go about constructing your football team going forward? Because you have value picks in every round. You're either picking third or fourth in every round of the NFL draft this year. And, you know, Tom, you were talking about how the extra week to prepare for the prospects that are trying to work out for these NFL teams, how it affects them. I would submit free agency comes first. So that's why it's also a crucial week in regards to all the talk that's going to take place between the decision makers of these NFL teams and the agents. But going forward, to me, I think it's crucial that you start to figure out what your identity as a football team is going to be. And I think based on the experience that you have on the Bears coaching staff and the people making the picks, you got to think defense first, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. Do you think anybody that filled in for an injured player last year, they benefited enough where they're going to come in here and it be at a higher competitive position? Are there such weaknesses in the personnel of the defensive side of the football that you have to make changes and you have to get people in there to upgrade the talent level of this football team? Because I think at the end of the season, man, the defense was a very porous defense. And as good as a coach as Vic Fangio is, I do think that they need to go out there and upgrade their defensive personnel as much as you need to find a quarterback.
You hear Jim talk about it all the time, the inability of the Bears to take the ball away last year, a major issue. You talked about it, Tom, when you think of the big plays that killed the Bears last year. How many times was their secondary torched by opposing quarterbacks? You got to fix it. And the only way to truly fix it for years to come is by correctly identifying the players in the draft this year. There are a lot of good players at the positions that the Bears need from a defensive standpoint. You got to get those players on your team, in my opinion.
Right, but why is the speculation starting from the front to the back? I think the Bears' biggest need is in their back end of the defense. But then when you look at the mock drafts leading up to this point, everything is about them getting a defensive lineman. So I know it's just speculation, but I need to see the guys in the back end come first.
We have to take a break, but Jim does a mock draft every year. I've seen it. I'm telling you, Tom, it's a legal pad the size of Jim's head. It's enormous, right? So we'll ask him about how he thinks the Bears should go about constructing their football team during the 2017 offseason. Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get the latest updates and messages from your Chicago Bears all year long by signing up at chicagobears.com/emails. It's Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. So is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. And I'm Zach Sabin. Happy to have you aboard on this special Friday edition of the program. And before the break, we were talking about all these mock drafts, and seemingly every single one you look at, they almost always have the Alabama defensive lineman Jonathan Allen going to the Bears at 3. Some people have gone crazy and have the Bears taking a quarterback with the 3rd overall pick in the first round. But, you know, I look at what you said last week, Tom, in regards to the Bears' defense, and to me the biggest issue wasn't necessarily getting the pressure from the front 7, because when they were healthy, they were able to generate pressure. The problem was the back end of the defense. And when you're playing a 3-4, you're putting those corners on an island. You need your safeties to understand what's happening. And I don't think the guys doing the mock drafts watch the Bears throughout the season. I think they see the needs that they have, and everyone knows the Bears have defensive needs, so they go and take the linemen, and they know that they need a quarterback, but they didn't really watch the games, because if you watch the games, you would know there are major issues in that secondary.
Jim, do you think cornerback is probably the second hardest position to develop in professional football?
Well, I just think depending on what you want to do, if you can get the guys, you know, whether they're a zone corner or a man corner. Because, see, to me, that's been the issue with Kyle Fuller, right? He was drafted to play in a Tampa 2, which is more of a zone defense. So that's what he was drafted to do and pretty much what he did in college. And then you change over to this 3-4, and what do we know under Vic Fangio? It's going to call for more man-to-man. And so it is the player we always talk about. Is he a fit? Is he a fit in that style of defense? And for me, I would say no. And I remember reading a report this week, oh, now the Bears are thinking about keeping Kyle Fuller. He couldn't get on the field last year. You know, he was kind of the defensive coordinator was upset that he, you know, really wasn't exerting himself to get back on the field again. So I'm with you. I think corner, and it's got to be a true man corner. You know, like you know, whether it's that Lattimore from Ohio State, and there's plenty of guys in this draft that can do it. We know it's deep at corner and safety, and then you look at in terms of just how guys are going to stack up closer to the draft. Because I talked to some guys this week that when you mentioned Jonathan Allen, I think this guy, you know, could be now is being considered the best guy in the draft. So does that push Myles Garrett down? Does the other kid out at Stanford that you like, Tom, that Solomon Thomas, I saw some tape on that guy. Have you seen that guy's lateral movement and pass rush ability?
Yes.
That guy's going to move up quite a bit in the draft is going to be my take. So, I mean, there's still a lot to uncover about these guys, but I'm with you. I think the Bears would be thinking the defensive side of the ball for all the reasons we explained last week. Play good defense, get some turnovers, play it tight to the vest on offense, and you can be in some tight games that you can win down the end, no matter who is lining up at quarterback for the Chicago Bears.
You know, when you talk about the defense you play according to the style you play as a cornerback, when you factor in the safety position, can they play either schemes that you're talking about? And is safety position more knowledge than it is actual athletic skill?
Well, yeah, I think you bring up a good point. So, like, again, the thumper, the more athletic safety, say, at the top of the draft would be Malik Hooker from Ohio State. Why? Because he's got more coverage ability and turnover, more ball skills and those type of things. Or do you want the thumper from LSU? That because that's what Jamal Adams is. He's not as good at, say, at the ball skills, at turnover ability as, say, Hooker. So if you want more turnovers, I would lean towards Hooker over Jamal Adams. But if I want a big, bad intimidator, if the Bears feel that that's important, then to me I would choose Adams over Hooker. But we've said they haven't gotten the turnovers. So I would much rather have a ball hawk like Hooker that I think would elevate over a guy like on the Bears draft board than, say, a Jamal Adams. They're both good players, don't get me wrong, but in terms of true ball skills, it definitely would be Hooker over Adams.
You know, it's interesting you say that because I think teams are going to investigate whether or not Hooker's healthy. That's something that needs to be investigated based on what's transpired since last season. And I think in regards to Adams, the hard-hitting safety from LSU, if you go back and you look at the way Vic Fangio's safeties performed in San Francisco when he had one of the best defenses in football. He had two hard hitters. I mean, that was they wanted guys that could intimidate you over the middle. And then I also think, and this is where I think we have to get really into the game here. When you look at the way the league is changing, you can't substitute anymore because these offenses are too smart,
right,
and they're not going to allow you to substitute. So if you can't, you better have a safety who can handle the mismatch of having to defend a tight end as well as one of those receivers that might be difficult from a speed standpoint to deal with.
Well, that's the kind of thing when I hear Jim talk about a good fit when he's talking about the cornerback position. So don't go out there and look at the Ohio State safety Hooker.
Yep.
Don't then try to develop him into a thumper that you say Jamal Adams is from LSU. You know, so I do think that is a key element. And what exactly are you looking for out of that position? And then go and match the right guy with his requirements in this defense that you've seen out of him in college, especially if you have a guy like Hooker who does have a health issue that you have to make sure that he's up to that punishment.
Yeah, that may take him off the board completely and you're turning to Adams. I'm not saying Adams can't do all these things because he is a dynamic athlete. I mean, it's just, you know, what do you want to say? Which do you prefer? Because they're both good football players. But I think you bring up a good point, Zach, because you think of Dante Whitner out there or Hittner, however you want to call it. I mean, all those guys developed into Pro Bowl safeties under Vic Fangio, and they were intimidators. So I think that's a fair point to bring up about Adams because he is all that and a bag of chips come to that standpoint.
Right, and to be fair, San Francisco was able to generate a lot of pressure up front, which also I think helped the guys in the secondary. But the Bears, they did a good job last year in terms of being able to generate sacks. So let's flip it around to the other side of the ball right now here on Bears All Access, and pleased to be joined by a guy who I think this offseason – is a question mark in regards to his career and his role with the team going forward. He's a guy who a year ago at this time was being counted on to be the Bears starting center. And I'm talking about Hronis Grassou, the third round pick during Ryan Pace's first year as Bears general manager. And he established a rapport offensively. I think he gained the trust of the coaching staff. And then unfortunately at Family Fest, tore his knee up. And Hronis Grassou joins us now here on Bears All Access. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, and Jim Miller with you, Hronis. So I guess the most important question right now is, physically, how are you doing?
Well, I just want to say thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I feel really good. I'm just getting better every day. I was feeling really good during the season, and now I'm out here in Oregon at the university, and just feeling really good, feeling ready to roll, and you know, just excited to get back out there. I know last offseason I was feeling great, and confidence was really high and playing really well. And you know, like you said, I felt the trust from the coaches and the players, but you know, doesn't mean I can't do it again, and I expect to do it again.
You know, Hronis, I'm glad you finished your sentence like that, because I think you'd be selling yourself short if you didn't come back here with the expectations of you being the starting center for the Bears next year. And regardless of the injuries that you went through, because a lot of guys experienced through the course of their career, it doesn't change your mindset. You might have been thrust into the position a little earlier in your career than you would like, because when I came out in the 80s, guys were expected to sit on the bench for a year or two, and then they started playing. So I hope you have the same expectations for yourself this year that you did from the beginning of time in the NFL.
Oh, I definitely do, and you know, it's what I think about it all the time. I think about it every day, and you know, I'm committed to this more than anything else, you know, going on in my life right now. And you know, I'm just, we'll do whatever it takes, and you know, I'll do whatever I have to do to just help this team win. You know, I care a lot about the Bears, care a lot about the city of Chicago, and just want to do it everything I can to just prove to them that, you know, this injury, it was just a, you know, minor speed bump, you know, in the road, and I'll be back fully recovered and just play fast and physical and just have fun out there and just show that you know, I'll be, you know, just, you know, where I was at before I got hurt.
Well, I know for everybody, including yourself, it felt like a punch to the gut, Hronis, because everybody knew how hard you worked in the off season, and it was unfortunate. And you know, like you said, I think when you get a significant injury, it says a lot about the character of a player and guys that can overcome serious injury, because it talks about their want to, their attitude, and obviously how important football is to you. And just from that standpoint, you know, where are you from that standpoint? Because obviously to come back stronger is always the key, and it's challenging. You always have those doubts in your mind, but you got to remove all doubt, and I think you know that.
Yeah, right. I totally agree. That's a great point. Obviously, before I got hurt, I was feeling really good, playing really well, probably my best football I've played in my entire career. And obviously, like anyone else on the team, we all worked hard to get to that point in training camp. I wasn't the only one. You know, a lot of other guys worked really hard. And I just had an unfortunate injury. And, you know, I could have looked at it as a negative way or a positive way. And I, right away, you know, with the help of my family, and looked at it in the most positive way. I looked at it as a blessing in disguise. I got to, you know, this season got to just look at the room, look at meetings, look at practice, look at games, you know, at a different angle, look at it almost at a coach point of view. Got to learn the game more. I didn't miss a single meeting, didn't miss games until I just wanted to just learn it from that angle, that perspective, and just it just slowed things down for me. It slowed the game down for me, and I think that's where the blessing came from, where I could just, you know, take that to my advantage and use it, you know, on the field of just, you know, like one of the ways I got better last year was I mentally just cleared things up and just played faster. And now with this injury, I got to do it even more. I get to learn even more. And it was a great opportunity for me mentally and physically. I got to work on things like upper body strength. You know, that's all I did every single day. So I looked at all the positive sides of it, and I'm in a really good spot mentally and just ready to roll.
Hey, Hronis, where are you at with in terms of what you can do with your legs? Do you have the opportunity to work them at 100%? Are you still have limitations, or is someone watching over you, and where are you at in terms of building your strength?
Yeah, I mean, I'm working with our trainers here at the university every day, so someone's always watching me. But as far as in the weight room, I'm clear to do everything in the weight room. I'm doing every single lift. I'm feeling really good. On the field, I'm already running. I'm doing a lot of cutting stuff, a lot of change direction, and it's just taking it, you know, day by day. I'm not rushing it or anything. I'm at 6 months post-op, and just going to, you know, do things the right way and not rush anything. And the biggest thing I learned from it is just listen to my body, listen to when my knee is has a sharp pain, just stop what I'm doing and, you know, find something else that I could do that doesn't hurt my knee. So, you know, that's the main thing I learned from this. I learned to have a lot of patience, and I learned to just, you know, just do a lot of other things to just make sure my body's right. No, not like I wasn't doing it before. It was just an unfortunate injury that happened, but just do even more. So I feel like it's going to help me out even longer in my career.
Visiting with Bears center Hronis Grassou here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. I have a couple of questions for you. First and foremost, Cody Whitehair had a terrific rookie season playing your position. Do you see yourself as a center exclusively at the NFL level?
I'll play any position I'm told to play. I feel like that's to be, you know, to pick a position to play, it's above my pay grade. But obviously, I'm more comfortable at center. But if, you know, anyone tells me to go, you know, do any position, I'll do it. Whatever it takes to help this team win, that's just the type of guy that I am. But, yes, I do feel more comfortable at center. But if I'm told to play another position, I'm more than willing to do whatever it takes. And with Cody, I mean, I couldn't be more happier than that guy, him coming in. I you know, try to as much as I can to help him out and get him ready to roll. And he went above and beyond that, and, you know, did really well. And I mean, I was so excited to, you know, just see him the way he played and the way he handles things. He does things the right way. And I was super excited to have him on the team.
And to be fair, Cody Whitehair throughout his football career has bounced around different positions on the offensive line and played them all well. So I think that's something that the Bears will keep in mind. And I ask you that because there's a brand new offensive line coach this offseason in Jeremiah Washburn, who came over from Miami. He used to be in Detroit. Have you had a chance to have an in-depth conversation with him? And what is he like, and what is his message for you specifically?
Yeah, we talked, but not really in-depth that much. We just introduced ourselves on the phone, even though we met at the combine when I was there 2 years ago or so. And I remember him at that time where I was really impressed with him, just really comfortable with him. And I told him that, and I told him I'm really, just really lucky and honored to have him as a coach. And I'm excited to work with him. And he said the same thing. And we just, I think everybody knows this in the building that, you know, I'm just a team guy first, and whatever he needs me to do, whatever the team wants me to do, I'll get it done, and, you know, no questions asked. And just got to be, you know, unselfish for the team and for everybody.
Well, what are you benching now? Because since you're out in Oregon, I want you coming back like Paul Bunyan, bro. You better be throwing around Babe the Big Blue Ox. You know what I'm saying? We want you yoked.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready to go. Get my strength up like I did last off season, and, you know, keep my speed at the same, you know, same speed, and I just feel good. So, and playbook wise, I had all season long to just watch and learn even more and help the guys out. Guys had questions. I was in there helping them out with questions and helping Cody out, but Cody, you know, understood. And so really excited for this opportunity. And I mean, just get, you know, my, you know, the trust and confidence back from teammates. And, you know, I know I could do that again.
Hey, Hronus, what is it about center that gives you the confidence to play that position? Because, you know, I was a career guard, but I was a backup center, and I never had the confidence at center that I did when I was playing guard. And what is it about the center position that you feel the most confident of a player that you are?
I just like being the guy to make the decision of what type of front it is, what calls we're making, where the mic is. You know, a lot of guys, you know, might be, I wouldn't say scared or nervous about it, but just uncomfortable about making that type of decision. And I am. I like being in that role, and I just played it my whole college career. I didn't play any other position in college, and and especially now in the NFL, I just play center up until now, and I just don't know it any other way besides making the calls and working with the quarterback and just being in the center of it all, and, you know, being protected by, you know, great guys to the right and to the left of me, and those guys just make it easier for me.
Hey, Hronus, when's the last time you've been in an actual three-point stance? Because, you know, that was the deciding factor for me. I know that you're kind of raised above the ground a little bit with the football underneath your hand, but it seemed like, you know, you felt in more of a burst type of stance. And, you know, what's that difference? When is the last time you've been in a three-point stance?
Yeah, you could definitely be way more explosive and way faster off the ball because you don't have to worry about snapping the ball. And right when you snap, the guy's right in your face before you can even get that snap hand on him. So maybe that's probably stressful for some guys that move over to center. But, you know, during practice, when we need extra guys in there, I will go move in at guard or, you know, just take the footwork. You know, I always try to just, you know, have that in my back pocket. And, you know, I'll be comfortable at it. But, you know, I haven't been told that yet, and I'm just, you know, doing what I'm told to do. As far as right now, I know I'm just, you know, playing center and, you know, going to compete and do whatever, you know, I mean, I have to do to just, you know, find a role.
Hronus, really appreciate your time here. On the way out, are you going to be restricted at all when the off-season workouts begin? When do you believe you will get full clearance to go without restrictions?
I honestly expect to be, you know, full, ready to go, clear to go during the off-season workouts. But that's, you know, not in my control if they want me to slow me down and get me ready for training camp or the back end of OTAs. You know, I'll do whatever they tell me to do. But, you know, I feel like I will be ready personally before the OTAs even start. But if they want me to just take it slow and be in no rush and make sure I'm just ready to roll for training camp, that's the doctor's and the trainer's decision, and I can't not listen to them. So, you know, I'm just taking it day by day and, you know, don't worry about what I could control.
Very understandable. Hronus, good luck with the training this offseason. Appreciate
it.
Yourself right. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys. Appreciate it.
Bears center Hronus Grassou spending some time with us here on Bears All Access.
Right. You know, and it's a heck of a thing that, you know, there's guys every year on every single team, and there's a few guys on the Bears that are going to have to come back from injuries when you think of Danny Trevathan and stuff that mean a lot to this football team. But I think the Bears are fortunate to have a guy like Cody Whitehair and Hronas Grasu, because if Hronas Grasu comes in here and plays as a legitimate starting center, the offensive line is going to be better because of the talents of Cody Whitehair.
Well, let's take a quick time out here, because I want to hear your scenario for if that indeed happens. What's the Bears offensive line going to look like next year if Grasu does indeed establish himself as a guy that needs to play center, based on the way he practices out there this offseason? Let's take a quick break here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Thayer is here. Soles Miller. I'm Zaidman. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique stories and interviews exclusively for Bears fans. And this week on Inside the Bears, Cam Meredith checks out the latest concept cars at the Chicago Auto Show. Leonard Floyd reflects back on his successful rookie season, and Cravon LeBlanc faces the phone challenge. Inside the Bears airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com or on the Chicago Bears official app at any time. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. We just spoke with Bears center Hronas Grasu. And, you know, Tom, I know that you always talk about how the offseason, even though you're not necessarily competing next to another player that particular day when you're driving to the gym, that drive to the gym when you know you're going to lift weights. And think about it. Hronas just got the mandate from Jim Miller that he better have a Paul Bunyan-esque physique.
That's a quarterback talking right? to the center right there.
But I've heard you talk about this on the air a lot, about the pressure of going in knowing when you're going to lift 500 pounds in the gym.
Well, I think that's the one thing that really separates people that haven't played the game that do play the game. Because when you go to the gym in the offseason and you're working out, you know, I squatted over 700 pounds. I benched over 500 pounds. I did all these lifts to extreme. Now, when you have to go through the psychological aspect of driving to the gym, knowing that you're going to back out of the squat bar with 700 pounds, 650, 600 pounds on your back, and then you're going to unlock your knees, and now you need your structure, your muscle base, and everything to hold up while you squat down and you complete the amount of reps. So it's not the single amount that you can ever achieve in your life. It's about all those sets that you go into the gym and you do to try to maintain strength that you'll keep you on a competitive level with the guys that you're competing against. And I just think that it's so difficult to go through a 4 to 5 month period in the off season, and when you drive to the gym and understanding what you're going to put your body through. Because I remember one time giving Jay Hilgenberg a liftoff on the bench, and he lost his grip, and he dropped 365 pounds on his chest from an arm's length away, and it scared me. I caught it, and I re-racked it, but you see this big red indentation across his chest, but now you got to be able to recover. You have to go back underneath that bar and make sure that you achieve that because, yeah, I had a misstep. Luckily, I didn't get hurt, but now I got to go over and do it all again. So it is really, it's an incredibly competitive atmosphere going into these weight rooms with other professional athletes because, listen, if you don't go in there and give 100% every single day that you're in there, you're not going to make it through the season. You're not going to be healthy. The abuse of the game is going to overtake you. And that's just really an important part of being a professional athlete.
Let me ask you this, Tom, because, you know, I just know for skill position players, like we always talk ACL, it's normally the second year you get your explosion. Yeah, Adrian Peterson was the anomaly. You know, he healed quick and he was unbelievable when he came back from his ACL. But for offensive linemen to get that explosiveness back, or I guess the confidence, I don't know, are there any examples, I guess, from your standpoint, offensive linemen that came back from an ACL? I'm sure Hronas is going to be wearing a brace and all that, but in terms of the explosiveness, how important is that in terms of your base as an offensive lineman to adjust to that for a guy like Hronas?
Oh, you know, the psychological factor of making sure that when you're in your stance and you have to have an explosiveness that's not only contact, but it's contact one, two, three, four power steps through through the play. If you don't have that, you can recognize that immediately, and you can see that player's body get turned, or you're not up to the capabilities of the leg strength that you need, and then you're relying so much on the other leg to bail you out when you don't have the push that you, a lot of times you end up getting that in that portion of your body hurt. I remember my last year in football, I had my back operated on during the offseason, and then I came back, I worked out to the point where I thought I was ready to play. And then the playing in the first game back after having back surgery, the next day I could barely walk. And I think I pushed myself back into competition too early. But, you know, those are some of the struggles that you're up against, because if you don't go out there and put yourself and deem yourself ready to play, someone else is going to take your job.
Tom, quickly now, if Hronis Gersou establishes himself this offseason as a guy who can start at center, where does Cody Whitehair go in 2017?
I have to do an evaluation on Kyle Long to make sure that he's 100% and ready to go, recovering from his ankle injury and a shoulder injury. If Kyle would need extra time, I would immediately go to offensive guard with Cody Whitehair. But I would not throw Cody out of the mix at either offensive tackle position. If I felt that I had a deficiency at one of those positions, I do believe that Cody Whitehair has the intelligence, the foot speed, and the tenacity to go out and play anywhere up and down the line.
Got to take another timeout. When we come back, we're going to flip it around and put Jim Miller on the spot, because
we've
got to talk about the most important position on the field. That's quarterback. And
you keep saying that.
I'll tell you why. The three guys that everyone's talking about, Trubisky, Kaiser, Watson, in whatever order you have them in, they're going to be in front of these evaluators next week at the NFL Scouting Combine. I don't care what they look like physically, because you can watch tape to see that. I want to know, behind closed doors, when they meet with individual teams, what do you want to know from these guys, Jim Miller? Because you've been there on the other end of it. What do you need to hear from these QBs to prove to you that they can play the NFL game and play it quickly? That's next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for all the latest content all year long. Tom Thayer is here, so is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. All right, so the Combine is next week, and it'll be the first real opportunity for all the NFL teams to get a real close look, have those interviews with the three main quarterbacks that everyone's talking about, that no one knows exactly where they're going to end up, and every team might have them graded differently before all is said and done. Mitch Trubisky, the North Carolina quarterback, Notre Dame quarterback DeShone Kizer, and the championship quarterback from Clemson, DeShone Watson. So, Jim, these guys can obviously throw the ball. Physically, I think what these evaluators are looking for is to make sure that they're the height and weight that they were actually listed at the collegiate level, and that always changes when you get to the scouting combine. But ultimately, it's what they do behind closed doors in regards to the grease board, watching tape with the evaluators. As a quarterback, what do you want to hear? What do you want to see? What are you testing to find out that these guys know or don't know?
Yeah, it's a great question, because, you know, I think let's just start with DeShone Watson, okay, from Clemson. You know, I'll put on that tape of a year ago and show him every one of those interceptions. What are you thinking here? What was this play? Do you remember why you made this decision? Take us through it. And you'll get the answer that you want, and you'll hear why the play went wrong, and the player will break it down. So, yeah, they'll go over all the playbook type of stuff. And then, like, for Kaiser, why all the sacks? How come after the two interceptions against Stanford were you benched? Why would your coach say that you lacked energy in Brian Kelly? That was the quote in the paper. We need more energy on offense. We're not getting it from our quarterback. Because you need to be the Energizer Bunny if you're out there getting 10 other players ready to play on every single down. And then for Mitch Trubisky, you know, there was a report out today. Who was it? I think it was Mayock, who said he had talked to scouts that say he measures 6'1", already his coach down there in North Carolina refuted it. But, you know, we will find out in a week how big he is and how much football that he knows, because he's only played, what, 13 games? Well, 14, I guess, with the bowl game.
Right.
So you're going to get into his head of how much offense he really does know. So all those things, and plus the Bears have the benefit of the fact there are two guys down at the Senior Bowl that I really liked. I like that Davis Webb from California. I really do. I think he really helped himself down there, that he will take a jump either by a round or two. I think he helped himself that much. And, of course, so the Bears saw him quite a bit. He was on the South squad, but the Bears had the ability to talk to him, interview him, get in his head, all those type of things. And, of course, they coached Nate Peterman, who got three quarters in that game. Nate Peterman got a ton of playing time in that Risa Senior Bowl. So the Bears are going to be very familiar with that talent as well. I think all those guys are potential for the Chicago Bears.
Hey, Jim, if Deshaun Watson can come up to you and give you all legitimate answers why those interceptions happen, or you have the inexperience of Trubisky, where would you go with either of these two? Which one would scare you less? Is it inexperience, or is it answering playing time questions?
Yeah, I think because that's what you're hiring these guys to do. They got to be excellent decision makers, and I think that's the big question about Watson and plus that offense at Clemson. Remember, why am I forgetting his name? Taj Boyd, he came out of Clemson, right? They're always on for like Mike Williams. You just kind of throw it up there, and the guy goes and grabs it. Think about Taj Boyd. He was thrown to DeAndre Hopkins, Martavius Bryant. They had great receivers when he was there. He struggled to learn an NFL offense. He was drafted by the New York Jets, and he absolutely just got buried. I mean, buried. And I even talked to him after. He's like, bro, I'm lost. That Clemson offense in no way, shape, or form prepared him for the National Football League. So Deshaun really is going to get tested and hit in that area. So I think he can throw football. He moves really well. I think he's a tough kid. There's a lot to like about Deshaun Watson, but there's also a lot of growth that needs to happen for all these guys because they just are not ready.
So if they're not ready, but you think they can ultimately be successful quarterbacks, do you take one at three? We'll ask Jim next. Bears All Access brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Spend part of your Saturday afternoon with a Pro Bowl Bear. Visit the grand opening of the Lakeview Xfinity Store located at 3128 North Ashland Avenue tomorrow, February 25th. Bears running back Jordan Howard will be there from 1 to 2:30 p.m. for autographs and photo ops with Bear fans. And we'll get to Jordan Howard and how he may contribute to what the Bears end up doing at the quarterback position in 2017. It's Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you. And before the break, I asked a simple question. If you believe, and most people you talk to say that in year one, Kaiser, Watson, Trubisky, whatever order you have them, that none of them are ready to be immediate contributors. But if you feel that one of these guys can be a star in the future, do you take that player, Jim, third overall?
I'm nervous taking any of these quarterbacks at three. You know, think about the Browns last year. They passed over Carson Wentz, said they didn't even have him in their top 20. If they didn't have Carson Wentz in their top 20, where the hell would they play this year's quarterbacks who are nowhere near ready to play like Carson Wentz was? So if I'm the Bears at three, and let's say they're thinking quarterback, yeah, we still want a quarterback. We're not going to address the defense. Can I trade down? Maybe the Jets, as it sits today, let's say if the Jets, they already drafted two young quarterbacks in Hackenberg and the player that they have there in Bryce Petty, would the Jets take one at six? Maybe they add a free agent prior to the draft, and the Bears can say, well, maybe I can trade down even further. Can I get in front of Buffalo at number nine? You know, because Buffalo might be in the quarterback market again. So I think you got to look at all those things. And if they do fall in love with one of these guys, when is the right time to take them? I don't know if three is the spot, if they're worthy of that. So if Ryan Pace can acquire more picks, because the Bears do need a lot of positions that need to address specifically on defense, I'm all for adding more picks and then still potentially getting their quarterback that they want or that they covet. Or they may not be in love with any of those quarterbacks. Maybe it's Mahomes or as I mentioned, Davis Webb or Peterman later in the draft.
Which very well may be true. The other thing that I think people need to consider is you got to look long-term too. And I think You can never have enough impact players on either side of the ball. And if you can fix your defense, because you do have some very decorated defensive minds in the building, start with Vic Fangio, John Fox throughout his career. This guy knows defense, and he's picked some very talented players over the years, either at Carolina or Denver, and even in the early going with the Bears, Ed Donatell in that secondary. I mean, you're talking about guys who have done this for a long period of time and had success on that side of the ball. And then we're not talking much about next year because no one wants to hear this. We'll have a bridge quarterback for 2017 because no one gets excited when you mention the term bridge quarterback. But, Jim, next year, and I know that you keep your eye on this stuff, next year's quarterback class is considered a really good one.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. I think this year is not a great year for quarterbacks. Yes, there are some diamonds in the rough. But when you look at next year and the quarterbacks that could be coming out in terms of Rosen and those players that are going to be available, I'm with you. I would think a lot of teams potentially could look at it that way. Or you approach it this year. Let's say, you know, whether they like I'm just throwing out names. I'm not, you know, just these are all just hypotheticals I'm talking about in terms of the guys that are available. You know, could they bring one of these guys along like Steve McNair? Because Steve McNair, if you remember him, he was drafted by Houston number 3 overall, but he was considered a raw player at the end of the day. And so, but what Jeff Fisher did is he played him a series. His first year, he basically sat on the bench, but Jeff Fisher would throw him in a series in the first half and the second half. And then as the year went on, he got more and more work and felt more comfortable and learned more about the offense. But, you know, for next year's class, I agree with you. I would think that would be considered a much better class.
See, I just think you have to stockpile your team with talent based on what's available in the draft the year that you have the picks. Don't worry about – I know they're desperate for a quarterback, but if the strength of this draft is defense or other positions – allow yourself to go in that direction because it's not going to make your football team worse, in my opinion. I know Tom has a lot of thoughts. We'll get his take next right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zabin, Tom Thayer, and Jim Miller with you. We've been talking a lot about the quarterback position. And Tom, you didn't say much in the last segment. You were listening to Jim. You were listening to me. Now, what do you think? What do you think the Bears are going to do? What's the best way to go about it in 2017?
You know, I think you'd have to evaluate every single quarterback in the draft. And I think the NFL learned a lesson last year by probably not evaluating Dak Prescott high enough because he had a couple of glitches on the radar. So I do think that there's talent out there that could probably get the Bears that quarterback that's not necessarily one of the big three that we've been talking about. So I do think that that position and the importance of the combine this year for the quarterback position is probably bigger than any other position out there. And usually when you go test the lineman, you see the 40, you see the agility, you see the strength test and all that. But the quarterback, like Jim says, those individual interviews that you do intelligently with a prospect is probably going to tell you as much about that quarterback as the physical testing alone.
Is it like the Gruden quarterback camp, you know, that we watch on TV, Jim?
Yeah, they do. They'll have you one. They'll actually give you a play. They'll they'll discuss something. Say, hey, here's 772Z drive or whatever, and they give you the formation and the play, and then they'll talk to you. They'll, hey, how's your family doing? Tell us. We know you're from an athletic family, so they'll talk about that. Oh, that play I just mentioned to you. Get up there and draw what I just told you. You know, they'll do that stuff to you. To what? Test your recall, because you got to be able to do that as a quarterback. So I think you do have to be on your toes. I think you got to be sharp. And I know all these agents and stuff prepare these guys, but if you ask the right questions, you're going to get the information you need. I really believe that. You just got to be tactful the way you do it. And the football knowledge, you can't hide that. You know, because when you start showing them the tape, all right, explain this play, break it down, what are you trying to accomplish? And a lot of those coaches are already going to know that anyway, but you want to hear the kids say it to make him do it so that you say, oh, yes, this kid knows what he's talking about. This play is designed to beat cover 2. This play is designed to beat man coverage. and you can get in the player's head, and you can see how much football he actually knows and how much he cares about it, how much football is important to him. Because I think at that position, I've said it numerous times here on Bears All Access, you got to eat it, breathe it, sleep it. You can't get away from it. If you want to really be a good quarterback.
You know, it's like sitting in meetings in the NFL when you're there as a rookie, a first-year guy, and you're sitting in the meetings and you know exactly what they're talking about. That coach is up on the board. I got it. You go and put your shoes on, you go on the field, you have no idea what he just was talking about. But you guaranteed you knew it walking out of the classroom. But when you got 11 guys in front of you and they're moving at breakneck speed, you don't know what you're doing.
See, Jim always says it the right way. It's like solving a puzzle very quickly. And if you can quickly solve the puzzle, understand what are the pieces are, there's an answer to every riddle. The problem is you don't know until these guys are actually out there on the field in a game that
counts.
It's
trying to solve a puzzle that the pieces are moving. It's easy when you just got the pieces sitting on a table, but now move all those pieces and try to put them in the right place.
And, you know, we didn't even talk about Jimmy Garoppolo and the possibility that he may be available and whether or not you would give up picks to get that guy. You know, we'll do it next week. We'll be at the Combine in Indianapolis, and we'll have a lot to discuss next week, Wednesday, right here on The Score, another edition of Bears All Access. For Tom and Jim, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening to this edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.